What's cracking? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. A very good Monday to you. What's up, clones? Hope you had a great weekend. Got a really nice Monday show for you, and we are going to front load it. A couple interviews coming up in hour number one, but lots of opportunities for you to talk about whatever you want. NFL, MMA, Major League Baseball, little NBA. Lots to get to. The program, as always, brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, so like I do every single day at this time, let me quickly lay it out for you. Coming up next segment, CBS Sports NFL insider Jason Lockenfora. Lot to cover with JLC, including the very latest with Antonio Brown. That's coming up in about 15 minutes. Right after that, the head coach of the LA Chargers, Anthony Lynn. Next hour, Dino Babers, the head coach at Syracuse. Third hour is wide open. 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome, and you know to email us at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. In terms of my XR4TI, Hawk, standing up in the back row. Dude, why are you pacing like that? Why are you swaying like that? Why is your top button buttoned? Hawk's in the back row, meaning the flight deck is in the front row. James Kelly is here, screening your phone calls. You get through him, you get to me, you get to me, you get on the air. All right, starting with Antonio Brown, since JLC is coming up next segment. Antonio Brown was, in fact, on the sideline of the Raiders exhibition game against the Cardinals Thursday night. Good sign. He was wearing the silver and black. He was dunking over the crossbar before the game. He even wore a helmet. It was actually awesome. The old AB was actually back and engaged, actually doing work. Then, on Saturday, he went through the walkthrough. So while he may not have liked the arbitrator's ruling against him, he at least had accepted it, put it all behind him, and it was all good. Sure it wasn't. It never is. Not with AB. Because when practice rolled around yesterday, he was nowhere to be found. So, what was it this time? Did he pull a Jeff Kent and get hurt washing his mini monster truck? Nope. This time, it was about, and wait for it, the freaking helmet. Again, the helmet. You see, come to find out, he didn't accept the arbitrator's ruling against him regarding the helmet. Well, he did. The original helmet, but he reportedly assumed that if he found a newer version of that same helmet, he would be allowed to wear that. And when the league ruled against him using a helmet as well, a newer version, because he did find one, when he found out that that was not going to fly, apparently he snapped again and skipped practice yesterday over it. So until now, the Raiders had bent over backwards to accommodate this guy. Now they're just bent, especially GM Mike Mayock, who showed up to meet with the media before tersely dropping this 40-second ultimatum right on Brown's helmetless head.
Here's the bottom line. He's upset about the helmet issue. We have supported that. We appreciate that. Okay, but at this point, we've pretty much exhausted all avenues of relief. So from our perspective, it's time for him to be all in or all out. Okay? So we're hoping he's back soon. We got 89 guys busting their tails. We are really excited about where this franchise is going, and we hope AB is going to be a big part of it starting week one against Denver. End of story.
Not that that needs any translation, but I'll do it anyway. Show up or hit the freaking bricks. You're not worth all this. Your negatives finally now outweigh your positives. And if there was any doubt at all about how pissed Mike Mayock is, and there's not, but if there were, the Raiders themselves eliminated that doubt by posting the same video to their official Twitter feed. In other words, this dude already has one frozen foot out the door. And if he thinks they're going to pay him, if he thinks they have to pay him, he's got another thing coming to him because they don't. Not if he's not coming to work over the helmet. They don't. Again, one thing not to be able to work because you got frostbite in the summer in France. The organization might be pissed about that, but there's not much they can do about that. But missing work because the league will not make an exception for him and will not let him wear the helmet he wants to wear is inexcusable. I mean, it really shows extremely how extremely selfish this guy is, that he doesn't get it and that he's not all about the team. If he were, he'd be out there with the rest of them doing what they're doing, learning a new offense, getting on the same page with his new quarterback. Bad enough that the guy did one of the dumbest things ever, getting frostbite in the middle of summer, and has missed as much time as he has because of that, but even worse, that he continues to miss time because he's fighting over something that every other player in the league has already accepted. And don't tell me his teammates don't resent that, because you know they do. I know Mayock does. And if Mayock does, so does his boss, Chunk Gruden. Then again, it's not like Gruden and Mayock are without blame. They knew what they were getting into when they brought Brown in. And if they didn't, they should have. There's a reason why the Steelers could not wait to get rid of one of the best players in the game. A reason why the Steelers literally gave away one of the best players in the history of that franchise. I mean, I get that Mayock is pissed, but what did he expect? This is what you get when you bring in Antonio Brown. This is why the Steelers got rid of him and are laughing their asses off right now. This is how the Raiders got this guy on the cheap. Because with Brown, it's always something. And if it's not that helmet, it would have been something else. So sure, Brown is acting like the very definition of a diva wide receiver, a bad teammate who's putting himself ahead of the team. But the Raiders don't have anybody to blame for that but themselves, because that's exactly what they signed up for. Exactly what you get when you bring in AB and pay him. Exactly the reason he wore out his welcome in Pittsburgh. But even that took 9 years. It looks like the same thing's going to happen in Oakland in under 9 months. And if that surprises you, you have not been paying attention, because that's who this guy is. That's what he does. I mean, do I really need to run down this guy's past transgressions? Hell, the helmet foot saga is right there next to the incident before week 17 last year. Tweeting during Mike Tomlin's presser, the interview with James Harrison. In fact, did that ever happen? That James Harrison sit down? The FaceTiming from the elliptical, the horrible self-gloss, the blonde mustache. And you know what? As much as I hate to do it, why don't we go back to that trade for a moment? Because Antonio Brown got over. He got exactly what he wanted in that deal. He wanted out of Pittsburgh. He got that. He wanted to take shots at Ben Roethlisberger and get away from him. He got that. He didn't want to go to Buffalo. He got that. He wanted to go to Oakland. He got that. And he wanted more money. And he got that. He got all of that. And he's still apparently miserable. The trade went down in March. It hasn't even been 6 months. And he's already miserable. And the GM is already blasting him in public. And I guess we're all just supposed to believe that it's all about that helmet. We're all just kind of rolling with the idea that AB is a crusader. A crusader against, and let me check my notes here, safer helmets. A crusade against safer helmets. There are more than 2,000 guys in the NFL at the moment, and he is the only one fighting the helmet change. Here's the other thing, right? Even if I wanted to give Antonio Brown the benefit of the doubt, or say that he might actually have a good point, he might have a legitimate grievance. The league might be handling this the wrong way. Brown might, in fact, be getting jammed. I mean, I guess somebody could try to argue that, but not me. I wouldn't know, and I don't even care, because of everything else that has preceded this. It's hard to get worked up about a grievance over a helmet when there have been so many stupid things that have come before it. Like, when you go down the list of things that have happened on the field and off the field involving Antonio Brown in the past year, it's kind of hard to get worked up about the idea that he's a crusader when it comes to helmet bylaws. Fact is, he might even have another grievance in him. But at this point, I just don't give a damn. It's incredibly boring. It's incredibly played. It's incredibly tired. You know, like the guy himself. And that's the worst part. Antonio Brown used to be a blast, man. My man used to be so fun. He used to be so fresh. He used to be so different. He used to be so electric. That Antonio Brown was awesome. This Antonio Brown is boring. At this point, AB stands for always boring. So I'm just done. I'm completely done with it. Brett Favre's annual Look at Me show, disguised as wrestling with whether or not he wants to play another season. Can't believe how tedious and played Antonio Brown has gotten. At this point, I would rather get worked up about Tom Brady putting his house on the market. Brady listing his house. And what does that mean for the future of the Patriots? I mean, that's one of the most boring topics ever. And it's still way more interesting than Antonio Brown and his helmet. So, yes, I am done. Officially done talking about Antonio Brown. This is an Antonio Brown-free zone. I'm done talking about him. I'm done talking about his stupid feet. I'm done talking about his stupid helmet. I'm done talking about his stupid self-gloss. I will talk about him again when he's on the field, in games that matter, doing things that matter. Because right now, none of this matters. And even worse, it's boring and annoying as hell. What this is some high-level, petulant child stuff. I mean, it'd be like Alvin saying he's not going to take us to break right now because he's got a new board and he hates it. Dude. And they're making him use it. Or the big head, James Kelly, not picking up JLC's call because he doesn't like the new phone system and he can't hear well enough. Or the sparrow, not reading tweets because he doesn't like the new Twitter. Well, actually, I would see that point. But anyway, it can't get any more annoying. Or any more petty, or any more boring, right? Like, I've run out of energy on it even. I'm done.
We've pretty much exhausted all avenues of relief.
Haven't we? All right, so maybe a question to JLC about it. All right, some other things. Nothing ever lives up to the hype, right? Not in sports, not in life. UFC 241 did. Man, what a great event that was. What a great night. And I want to break it all down. And I'm not even going to start with the heavyweights. I got to start with Nate Diaz. Nate Diaz was unbelievable. Even for Nate Diaz. And I want to talk about my guy Daniel Cormier going down the way he did. Talk a little golf. I actually loved the BMW Championship. Yeah, what went down there. Lots of good stuff there. 1-800-636-8686. One more football note. Josh Gordon has been reinstated. Sort of. Kind of. I guess. I think. I know, I don't really know what it all means. We'll get into all that. Anthony Lynn coming up at 40 past. Dino Babers next hour. Jason Luck and Fora next segment. Man, hit me up. Call me right now. 1-800-636-8686. So you're a small business owner, but there's nothing small about what you do. This is why Dell Small Business Technology Advisors gives you trusted advice, a one-on-one partnership, and tailored tech solutions like computers with Intel Core processors, servers, storage, networking, thousands of top brand electronics, accessories, and software. So, no matter what your technology needs, Dell is here to help your small business do big things. Call 877-BUY-DELL. Speak with an advisor right now. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Listening to the Jim Rome Show.
All right, continuing on this Monday, nice to have you. Great to have you. I'm going to have Jason Locke in for him momentarily, Anthony Lynch shortly thereafter, Dino Babers coming up in hour number two. And again, we are wide open in the third hour. Big week, lots to get done. 1-800-636-8686. If you have any issue or any different take with my open, go ahead. You know where to find me. Phone, Twitter, email, Instagram, Facebook, you know, all the normal platforms. Also, if you were at UFC 241 or you threw down for UFC 241, I want to get your reaction to that too, which we'll get to a little bit later on. Can't imagine you're not happy with your ROI with relation to that fight card. Daniel Cormier had things going his way until they didn't. He got away from what he trained to do, got away from what his coaches were telling him to do, and it got him beat. But as is the case with DC, he owned that completely. James Kelly, what's up?
Hey, man.
Appreciate you being here.
Idiot kicker.
Dear Jim, Antonio Brown needs to grow the bleep up and stop acting like a minor league Mr. Falcon. Sincerely, Wally Backman.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
Paul in Albany, War Joe Rogan being on episode 100 of the podcast. That'd be something. So I'm still looking for a guest. Who would you like to hear on Ep 100? Who would you like to hear on Ep 100? All right, as promised, we're joined right now by somebody with an amazing resume, but at the Super Bowl, he did in fact request that he simply be introduced as the man who will forever have the title of first guest on the CBS Sports Network Jungle Simulcast. He is also, however, an NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. He does appear every Sunday on the NFL Today on CBS. He is Jason Lockenfora. JLC, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. It has been all downhill for me. Personally and professionally, Jim, since my first day on your show, I just have to say.
That's great. Not true,
but great. I definitely peaked that day.
Not true. Not true. All right, Jason. So every day there's something new and frankly something weird or kind of dumb that unfolds with the Antonio Brown situation in Oakland. What was your reaction to Mike Mayock's comments after Brown missed practice yesterday?
My reaction is that you just have to take a step back from this and not obsess. And I know it's hard, especially for Raiders fans, and they've been starved for a winner for a long time, and they, you know, gave this guy a lot of money when they didn't have to sweeten the pot to get him to come there. But the reality is he was always going to play football. He was never going to retire. He would find some helmet that he was willing to go out for 3 hours every Sunday or Thursday or Monday night and play football in, and that will be the case. And he will be back there for good this week, and they will figure something out. There was never really anything else. Now, he's a guy who likes his share of attention, and you've got the Hard Knocks stuff going on, and so when he's not there right after the bat, after the second preseason game, then that was basically the Raiders saying, okay, enough's enough. We'll put up with a circus and a charade for a while. But, like, we've been through this process now, and if you want to continue to file grievances, that's great, but you need to find some model of helmet that not just the NFL, but the NFL and your union have said is acceptable to wear to best mitigate the risk of injury, and in the case of this sport, potential catastrophic injury. So there's only one outcome here, Jim, and we'll get there eventually, and he's reporting there today, and they'll figure the helmet thing out. But he's got $30 million on the line, and there's really no, you know what I mean? There is no retirement. There is no, oh, they'll give him a five-day letter, and he'll never report, and, you know, we'll – it's just not – he's going to play football for them. And it's go time now, and close enough to go time, that they've kind of put him on notice and said, you know, if you don't want to start getting fines, if you don't want to go down a negative path, then you need to get in here and we'll figure out your headgear and let's try to win more games this year than we did last year.
Right. So bottom line, if you had to say it right now, Jason, what kind of a season do you think the Brown has with the Raiders?
I still think he has something in the tank. Is it going to be what it was 3 years ago? Especially when you start talking about yards per target and yards per reception? Probably not. There may be something to the fact that he's maybe not quite that guy anymore, but 100 catches? I mean, I don't know why that has to stop. You know, I don't know that does stop. And what he can do around the end zone and the kind of touchdown numbers he put up last year, I don't know that it'll be quite that high, but I think you can put him in for 100 catches and double-digit touchdowns. And then, you know, how prolific is the yardage and how many explosive plays are there? Maybe not quite as many as before, given it's a new system. He's learning a new quarterback, and he is getting older, and he missed some time, and there's this foot situation, which we guess is behind him, but with this cat, who knows? But I still think he's a guy who any given Sunday can dominate on the football field.
Jason Lockenfora joins us. All right, so you went to Steelers camp. How different was it, Jason, without Antonio Brown?
It was noticeably different without all the – it's not just AB, but it's his entourage, the social media guy, you know, his nutrition guy, the Brazilian dude who you met on South Beach who would run around with, like, his own sort of mixture of some sort of liquid concoction that he would be handing to AB on the sidelines. It's the, is he going to be there today or isn't he? You know, is this going to be a bad day with him and Ben or isn't it? Just all that. And remember, that whole subplot was unfolding last year. And he had already gone AWOL, what, a week or so into training camp. And they also had the Le'Veon Bell circus. And is he going to report or isn't he? And would he really sit out a whole year? And, you know, you had the whole team and the offensive lineman saying he's going to be back week one. And then he's like, nope, joke's on you. And then they raided his locker. You know, like, it's just the culmination of all that sort of negative energy and mental and emotional baggage. It's not an excuse for how they fell apart last year. But I do think there's some addition by subtraction, and I am buying the fact, and I wasn't, frankly, when I went into their camp. I was a skeptic. But I am buying the fact that, like, at the end of the day, the net yardage in the passing game, the net yardage in the running game, and the overall touchdown scored on offense probably won't be that different from years past. It'll be spread around differently. The pie chart will look different. But the gross overall numbers, I think, will be pretty similar.
GLC in midseason form joining us again. Jason, Josh Gordon was reinstated on Friday. What was your reaction to that news, and exactly what does that mean?
Well, I mean, look, everything with Josh Gordon is temporary, Jim. He has a unique and sordid history with the NFL and, you know, its substance abuse policies, and he's at a stage of the program where it doesn't take much, a diluted sample, a weird test, a missed test, whatever, for him to once again have his career in jeopardy. So it literally is day by day and play by play when it comes to Josh Gordon and his future. But, you know, it does show that he, you know, from the time he sort of stepped away last year, clearly has done enough on a personal and emotional and mental level to get, you know, the NFL to allow him to come back and to get the buy-in from Belichick and McDaniels and those guys. And I can just tell you, they love him as a human being. And they look at the struggle he's facing as a disease and addiction and something that is daunting. You know, no one makes light of it. No one thinks it's, you know, oh, can he just put the pipe down or anything like that or whatever. Or can he just stay away from this person or that person? You know, they look at it as something that is much deeper than that. So they stood by him and tried to make sure he was getting the best care he could get holistically all the way around while he was away. But can he stay on this path? I don't know that anybody knows. But I do know what they think of him as a human being and what they think he can contribute. And, you know, if there is a happy ending to come of this, then I think that would be a great thing. But the way that policy is set up, it is very easy to go astray.
We're spending a few more moments with Jason Lockenfora, NFL insider at CBS Sports. Jason, you've spent some time around the Ravens during camp. Mm-hmm. What differences are you seeing between Lamar Jackson as a rookie and Lamar Jackson right now?
Massive. He is the voice of that team. He's the face of that team. He is the leader of that team. And the fact that he's only played, you know, whatever it was, you know, six regular season games and a playoff game or whatever, that doesn't matter. They know that everybody's future is tied to him. Both sides of the ball, special teams, veteran, rookie, doesn't matter. Everybody is all in on Lamar Jackson, and he hasn't hid from that, and he has embraced that, and he embraced it when he was away from the facility, and he embraced it when he was at the facility. And you see it in how he handles himself. You see it in how people gravitate towards him. You see it in what people whisper about him, not just what they say when the cameras are on. And then you see it on the field, Jim. You see it at practice, and you see it in these preseason games. They've done so much rudimentary work with him, everything from literally his toes through his core to his hips, how he swivels, how he turns, any little intricate minutia. They were going through basic drills to make sure that for this system, everything became rote and muscle memory to him. And it certainly looks that way. Everything from how he holds the football to how he delivers it to how he follows through to where his feet are to where his eyes are and his shoulders, I think it's all a marked improvement from a year ago. He throws a tighter spiral with much more consistency. He's comfortable. I think Greg Roman is a great coordinator and play caller for him. And you haven't even seen the real offense yet. So they will have plenty of tricks up their sleeve, and they'll have an incredible volume in the run game, and they'll also be much more robust than what they tried to do in the passing game this year as well.
Jason Lockenfora, an NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. You can see him every Sunday on the NFL Today on CBS. JLC, I'm looking forward to seeing you in New York soon. Great to have you back, and thank you so much.
Can't wait. away, buddy. Always my pleasure. Thank you.
You're the man. Jason Lockenfora is so good. Love JLC. All right, so my thanks to him. What are your thoughts on any and all of the above? He said, Raider fan, you know, it's got to be frustrating and concerning, but you got nothing to sweat in the sense that this guy's going to be there. He's not going to leave $30 million on the table for a helmet. And in fact, is it really all about that helmet? I'm not even sure it is. 1-800-636-8686. When we come back, more football. We'll be joined by the head coach of the L.A. Chargers, Anthony Lynn. Dino Babers coming up next hour. And in and around that, plenty of time for you to give me a call. Use the telephone. It is toll-free. Lines are open. All you have to do is get through the guy with the big head, James Kelly. 1-800-636-8686. Here is a bomb of the hour sports update for you.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Monday is always an Ask the Pros day, meaning you get the opportunity to ask me a question. And it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit your question there. Early on when I started to host this program, I said, have a take, don't suck. Have a take, don't suck. In other words, don't call me up with some question about, hey, Rome, what do you think about the L.A. Dodgers' chances in the NL West this year? Great show. I'll take your answer off the air. So long ago, I got rid of that. Don't ask me a question. But then the ATP came in, and now you've got a reason to ask me a question. In fact, lots of them. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. We are joined right now by the head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers. Entering his third season with the team, he led the Chargers to a 12-win season and the postseason last year. Took the Chargers to the postseason for the first time in 5 seasons. Seattle is at L.A. Saturday night, 7 p.m. Pacific. The season opener is against Indianapolis, September 8th, 4:05 p.m. Eastern on CBS. Anthony Lynn is my guest. Anthony, good to have you back. How are you?
Good to be back, Rome. Doing good, man.
Good, good.
Watching a little tape from last night.
Yeah, so what's it look like to you? I know it's a preseason game. It's a loss to the Saints. The preseason's not about the results, but watching that tape, what's your biggest takeaway?
I'm looking for guys. We're trying to find a right 53 right now for September 8th, and I'm looking to see who step up in these games, who's most consistent, who executes, and just so we can get the right roster together.
Anthony Lynn joining us. So every season and every team is different. What have you learned about this team so far in camp?
It seems, I mean, we kept a lot of this, the same players intact, so I'm very familiar with these men and what they can do and what they can't do. And I know they work their tails off. You know, we completely understand that. You know, we won 12 games last year, but you don't pick up where you left off. You know, we got to restart over and go back to work and build that same chemistry we had last year, that same grit. And go see what happens. But right now, we're working hard. And, you know, we've had a couple setbacks, you know, with DJ and Russell Kuhn. But, you know, every team in the league is going to go through two or three things that they have to overcome. And I think when you build a good football team, you're able to do that.
Anthony Lynn is my guest. You mentioned DJ, Derwin James. Obviously, he's dealing with a foot injury. Knowing the impact that he makes on the field, how do you go about dealing with that injury and attempting to replace him?
Yeah, you can't replace him. I mean, he's a heck of a talent. But his production on the field speaks for itself. But his intangibles, his leadership, is what I believe we're going to miss the most. You just sleep better at night knowing that kid's on the field. And, you know, we're going to miss him. But Adrian Phillips is going to step up, and he's going to replace him. And Rayshon Jenkins, he's having a heck of a camp. He's stepping up. So, you know, everyone has stepped their game up a little bit, and we'll be okay.
We're talking L.A. Chargers head coach Anthony Lynn. You know, one of the things that I'm really struck by, when you look back at last season, you won a lot of tight games by playing football, winning football in tight situations. In fact, you were 7-1 in one-score games last year. So how do you explain the ability, and is that something that carries over from one year to the next?
Well, that's something that we emphasize, and we emphasize it and communicate it with one another and over-communicate it. You know, how you perform and how you decisions you make in situational football. And we try to put the guys in those situations as much as we can in practice, and then we like to see it play out in games. You know, last year, you know, it played out in our favor. You know, our guys felt like they'd been there and done it. But I believe when you approach those situations in practice with the right mentality and the right focus, then you kind of feel like you've been there and done it before, and the game kind of slows down for you a little bit.
And the approach is key, right? Like last season, Nick Hardwick, who'd been around the team for a long time, is both a player and an analyst, said that he noticed how the team has a, quote, business-like manner now, as opposed to, quote, Chargers teams in the past who thrived and died on emotional football, end quote. So how'd you go about instilling that business-like approach, and why was that so important?
No, we just I believe that this is important. And, you know, I'm here in this culture every day, so I don't notice things like that. That's good to hear. That, you know, that Nick, being a former player, saw that. But if you're going to be at your best, and that's what we try to focus on here, is just being at our best. You know, we don't control winning. I mean, let's be real. I mean, you can go out and play the best game of your life and still lose. And so, if I can get each man to show up every day and focus, eliminate distractions, and try to be at his best, then I think we have a chance to win a lot of games. And that's what we focus on. That's probably, when you say business-like approach, it's probably – maybe that's why you feel that, because, you know, guys are locked in.
Thing is, though, and I get that, but it's not a game. And, you know, obviously you'd be the first one to say this. It's not a game without emotion. You play that game with emotion. Even you can coach on a certain level with a certain amount of emotion. And to that point, the connection that you're going to develop with each player, there's this story from last season. After huge road wins at Pittsburgh and Kansas City, you found time to speak to every player individually, whether they were starting or not, to tell them something you appreciated about them and how they contributed to those wins and the season. Why was that so important for you to do, and what was that process like?
You know, I think you have to get to know your players, and so if they trust you and you trust them, and it's got to be intentional. You know, it doesn't just happen. And I think sometimes I can be real critical, and, you know, I expect the good things, and when guys don't do it the right way, then I'm really outspoken about that. But every now and then I want them to know that I really appreciate them too. And, you know, I think you have to pull guys aside and have those conversations with them individually. And I made time to do that. I thought it was important to do that. You know, and some guys, you know, you pull aside and those conversations are not so pleasant, because you have to get to know your guys. And some guys you're going to coach with a candy bar one day, and some guys you're going to coach with a crowbar one day. You just got to know the difference.
A candy bar one day and a crowbar one day. Did you literally sit down every single guy on the roster and have a conversation?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And they weren't all sit down. Some of them were just standing on the field. Some of them were standing in the hallway. Some of them was in the cafeteria. Just whenever I could grab them.
Anthony Lynn joining us. That's amazing. Now, when you talk about the ups and downs of a season, obviously Melvin Gordon has not been in camp as part of a contract situation. I understand you're focused on the guys who are there and the roster you do have, but do you expect him to be there when the regular season starts?
I don't know. You know, Melvin and I, we've spoken. We've had good conversations, and I trust that this situation is going to work itself out with management. And we like to have him, but he's not here right now. And like you said, I'm really focused on the guys that are here and trying to get them better and move forward.
So I'm curious, what's that conversation like? I mean, do you try and talk him into coming? Do you just try and figure out where he's coming from? What's a conversation like him about a situation like that like?
You know, I just want to understand what his position, where he's coming from, and at the same time, just let him know that, you know, we miss him and that he's a big part of what we're trying to get done here. That's all.
Anthony Lynn's my guest. Now, one of the things you and I have talked about, and I always enjoy talking about with you, is what you do in the summertime as you get away from football. You and Stacy opened up a school in northern Tanzania. How did your involvement with that project first come to be?
Man, you know, my neighbor in New York, when I lived in New York for 8 years, we played college ball against each other. He was at Texas, and I was at Texas Tech. And we ran into each other one day, and we just kind of hit it off. And he has a foundation called A Privilege to Serve. And he was telling me about this project that he wanted to get done in Tanzania, and he needed some help doing it. And, you know, I sit down and I visit with his people and watch some video and talk to some people on the phone in Africa. And it was a project that I just couldn't walk away from, something that I feel like I had to do. And I've never done anything abroad before. You know, I feel like we have enough problems in the home country. And so I've always, you know, stayed home. But I took this one, you know, because it was important. These kids needed education. They needed a school. And there's just so many negative things happening in that area with teenagers, you know, as far as being hauled off the military and gangs and sex trades, that we just feel like we needed a school there desperately. And but I privileged to serve. You know, they brought me in on the project, and I was supposed to go over the last season, and I didn't have time to make it, but I made time this year. And I got to tell you, it was a game changer. I took my whole family, and just to see visit with the people over there and how appreciative they were, and how tough those people are. Now every day over there is life or death situation, and just how they live. You know, it just made me not take as many things for granted anymore. And it also made me realize that we have more than enough to get done what we need to get done if we put our minds to it.
Good for you. What a great cause. Anthony Lynn, my guest. Before you go, you mentioned Texas Tech. I'm actually going to go to your old stomping grounds of Lubbock to pay a visit to Texas Tech shortly. Is there anything I should make sure that I do or see while I'm in town?
You got to go by Josie's, man. Some of the best Mexican food in West Texas.
All right, I'll do that. Now, you know I'm a Southern California native. We have some pretty good Mexican food out here. How does it compare to what we have out here?
I think it's pretty similar, to be honest with you. You know, we call it Tex-Mex back in Texas, but I think it's pretty similar. But it's a lot of good eating places there in Lubbock, though. Lubbock, Texas is known for great people and good food.
So what was it like playing college ball there? What do you remember most as you look back on your time there?
You know, it was fun. It was a sellout, you know. They really back Red Raider football. And so, you know, every Saturday you played in front of, you know, 60,000 screaming crazy people. And I never understood the tortillas. They would throw the tortillas out on opponents. But it was fun. Great, great college atmosphere.
Chargers coming off a 12-win season. They went to the postseason for the first time in 5 years. They're back at it Saturday night against Seattle, and they open up their season against Indianapolis on September 8th. Their head coach, Anthony Lynn, my guest. Anthony, great to have you back. Appreciate you. Appreciate the visit.
Good to be back, Ron. Thanks,
right,
man.
You
Bye-bye.
Got it. Great talking to you. It's a jungle favorite right there, Anthony Lynn. He's a stud. Great coach, great leader, great presence. Love everything about him. 1-800-636-8686. And that is true. I'm going to Lubbock. In fact, I'm going to Lubbock this week. I'm going to sit down with Chris Beard, and we're going to do an interview. Anxious to get over there to see him and get caught up with Chris Beard. I'll tell you more about that as we get closer to that. All right, so we went back-to-back in hour number one. We had Jason Lockenfora. We had Anthony Lynn. I've got an open segment at the top of hour number two. And then we'll talk some college football with Syracuse head coach Dino Babers. Also, in addition to this, I want to break down UFC 241. Did you go to the event here in Cali? Did you pay for it? Did you get a good return on your investment? What was your biggest takeaway from that night? Ordinarily, under any other given circumstance, you have a couple of heavyweights like Stipe and DC. I could spend an hour on that fight alone, and I would lead with that when talking about that event, but I can't because of one Nathan Donald Diaz. Nate Diaz doing Nate Diaz things. Nate Diaz saying Nate Diaz things. And by doing Nate Diaz things, I mean being inactive. And not inactive. Inactive in the octagon. But obviously, he'd been working and training, because you don't show up after 3 years and put down the performance he did if you're not doing work. But even for Nate Diaz, that was amazing. How many times have I had Dana White on the show and asked him the question, hey, Dana, any idea how a guy is going to look after a long layoff? And Dana always says, no, you never have any idea. Nate Diaz is inactive for 3 years and comes back and looks pretty much as good as he's ever looked, if not better. And I do want to talk about Daniel Cormier. Lost the belt, and now what do you do with him, if you're him? And lots of other things to get to, including the BMW Championship, which was great, and more. Open segment next. Good phone call gets on the air. Dino Babers after that. We're coming right back. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Stay tuned.